Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What is prayer? What is it really? I've heard it explained many different ways. I've heard it explained as having a conversation with God, as though he somehow responds to you in that very prayer, speaks to you outside of his word. At the same time, I've also heard it explained as talking to God, that we lay our petitions at his feet, sometimes even wrestling with God. And I think that sometimes that is actually a little bit more accurate. Consider our Old Testament lesson for today. Jacob wrestles, literally wrestles with God. All night long. Have any of us spent an entire night in prayer? Now, maybe some of you have. Maybe at the affliction of a son or daughter, of a husband or wife, at the loss of a mother or father. Maybe you have spent all night in prayer, wrestling with God, and maybe you find yourself falling asleep with your head down in the same position that you were in prayer. Jacob wrestled with God, and God actually gives him a new name. Yisrael strives with God. He is now forever known by that name. God says, "You have striven with God and with men and have won." Sometimes that's how prayer needs to be. Sometimes we need to be so constant in prayer that God changes his course. Moses did it. Abraham did it. Gideon did it as well. We also need to be ready to submit our own wills sometimes to the Father. Yes, it can be good to strive with God in prayer, not to say, "Lord, I know better than you," but ultimately saying, "Lord, I want your will to be done so much that I will spend all night in prayer." Yes, Jacob's name is changed, and prayer changes each and every one of his children too. In our gospel lesson for today, we see the power of prayer. We see a Canaanite woman who approaches Jesus because she doesn't know where else to turn. I don't think any of us really understand demon possession all that well, because it doesn't necessarily affect us very often. I can't recall a specific time that any of my children were actually possessed by a demon. But yet, I know it can happen. In fact, next week, I'll devote almost the whole sermon to demon possession. Because next week we'll see a man who's demon-possessed speak to Jesus and him exorcise that demon. You see, Lent is not just about Christ going to the cross. Lent is about spiritual warfare, of spiritual wrestling, sometimes with God and sometimes with the devil. This woman has a daughter whom she loves very much, who is now possessed by a demon. And she knows how bad that is, because that can damn the soul. She doesn't want her daughter to be outside of salvation, and so she lays her petitions at the feet of her Lord, of her God. She is a Canaanite woman. There's a bit of racism there between the Canaanites, that is, the Sumerians, the Samaritans, and the Jews. They are viewed as dogs. Jesus even calls her a dog. And it makes us extremely uncomfortable to think that Jesus would refer to a woman as a dog. So why does he do it? He tests her faith. He tests her resolve. Will she walk away? Or will she continue? This woman comes to him. She lays herself down in front of him and she says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Once again, we see the confession that Jesus is the Messiah, the one that God has sent to redeem his children. For he is the Son of David. He is the Kyrios, the Lord. Again, we sing those words, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy. Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. What does he do at first? He doesn't even answer her. He says nothing. And it gets to the point where his disciples, who are supposed to be following him, who are supposed to be working all things together for righteousness, ask him and they beg him, shut this woman up and send her away. She is bothering us. He answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. A rebuke, not at his disciples, but at her. I'm not here for you. I'm here for the lost sheep of Israel. But she comes and she lays herself flat on her face in front of him. A position that many of us can find ourselves in because of our own sin, because of our own unworthiness before the presence of a most high God, that is apart from the Holy Spirit. She lays herself down and she simply says, Lord, help me. So he answers and he says to her, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Those are hard words for us, given the connotation of him calling her a dog. Dogs are not this cute, cuddly thing that we think of today. Dogs in the ancient world were around to kind of take some scraps, but most of them didn't necessarily even live in the home. They weren't given status that they are today. They're not treated as fur babies or somehow a replacement for children. Dogs are less than human, much more so then. This is a cut. It is a public cut. It's exactly what his disciples want to hear. But she continues, yes, Lord. I am a dog. I admit it. I am not worthy to be called your child, to receive the bread that you have to give to your children. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I'm a dog, and I don't even ask to be fed with the same exact bread that you have to give to the children of Israel. I simply ask for the crumbs, because I know the crumbs from your table are enough. I know the crumbs from your table will heal my daughter, body and soul. They are all that I need. Lord, please help my daughter. Jesus responds, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. She did not give up in her prayer. She continued and she continued. She laid her petitions at the foot of the only one who could actually help her daughter, the only one that could cleanse her body and soul. Demon possession is real. It is terrible. It is frightening. But Jesus is stronger. God casts out demons. They shudder at his very name. Their knees tremble and they have to bow at the name of Jesus, as do we. O woman, great is your faith. That's what prayer life looks like. Sometimes in our lives we get so distracted by the regular things going on that we forget to pray. When we roll out of bed in the morning, we go right to the coffee maker, or whatever you might do, and we skip kneeling at our bedside, returning thanks to God for another morning that he has blessed us with. Many of us might remember to say prayers at home, but how many times do we neglect a family meal? How many times do we find ourselves too busy to pray, as though God has given us more to do than to return his thanks, to return blessing, to pray to him? We are to pray. A prayer life is a good life, a life of the soul. Martin Luther said when he had so much to do in a given day, he would spend double time in prayer just so that he could get through it all. And that's how it should be for us. We lay our petitions at the feet of Jesus. When we pray, we are speaking to God Most High. We lay our requests at his feet. And when do we hear him? Not necessarily hearing his voice in prayer, but turning to his word. Everything that you need to know that God has said, you will find in the word of God, in the Bible. Lord, why don't you speak to me? Here you go. Read. I have given you my word. Trust it. Believe in it. Take it to heart. Our prayers are important because they show that we have a relationship with God. And reading his word is the way we know his will. The collects that we pray in church, you'll find that there is a repetitious nature to them. That most of them have 5 points in them. And today I want to spend just a tad bit of time talking to you about those 5 points so that you can better appreciate what those prayers look like. In each prayer, we have an address. O God, O Lord Jesus Christ, calling upon God in his name. There's a rationale. Because you are the great creator, because you have made us body and soul, then there is the request or the petition. As such, we ask for healing for our bodies. The benefit or why? Because you are gracious to us and you hear our prayers. And the termination that is through Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord, or whatever sort of things that it might be. Those 5 points are helpful, but they're not necessary. If you struggle to pray because you don't know how, start with the very prayer that Jesus gave us. There is no better prayer. It is divinely given. Pray it every day. If you follow Luther's advice, you will pray it at least 5 times a day. And if you feel like you shouldn't use repetitious prayers, if you feel like you shouldn't use written prayers because you should only pray from your heart, remember that Jesus gave this prayer. His disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he said, when you pray, say, Our Father. Think about how joyous it is to be able to call God our Father. Not deserving it because of our sins, but we get to call upon him because Jesus is sinless in our place. Because Jesus has taken our sins upon himself and they were nailed to that cross. Jesus has conquered death and sin and the devil on our behalf. Our Father, and we trust that we are his children, and we trust that he hears us. How do we show that we trust that he hears us? With a simple word, Amen. That word, Amen, means yes, yes, it shall be so. Lord, I trust that you will truly, that you will verily, that you will Amen. You are true. You will hear my prayer, and you will answer. Amen, amen. Yes, yes, it shall be so. The words of the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer in the Catechism. What does this mean? This means that I should be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are heard by him. For he himself has commanded us to pray in this way and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. When I finish the sermon today, I will give you a blessing, and your response will be, yes, yes, it shall be so. When you receive the body and blood of Jesus this morning, Your response will be, yes, let it be so. Let me receive this blessing. Let me receive the forgiveness of my sins because I need it. Because I sin every day. And yet your grace is all sufficient. Lay your petitions at the foot of God. He hears you and he answers you because he loves you. Because you are his children. Because he sent his only begotten son to die in your stead. He hears and he answers. Not always in the way that we expect, but he does, for he is faithful. The church sings. Amen, that is, so shall it be. Make strong our faith in you that we may doubt not, but with trust believe that what we ask we shall receive. Thus in your name and at your word, we say amen, O hear us, Lord. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.